tasty.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week here on the Academic Agent channel. And there's quite a bit to get to this week. Now, I am forthcoming going to be making another video aimed at the attacks on Rupert Lowe by the snivelling and disgusting and weaselly Tory boys. But there's much more important news going on abreast in the world, because at the moment, it seems like and it feels like we're watching the quite rapid and unexpected collapse and death of the US empire. One of the books I wrote in the past was called The Prophets of Doom. One of the people I talk about in that book is Gleb Pasha. Gleb Pasha is a biography, one of the sources I used. There he was, quite a remarkable man who acquitted himself very well on the battlefield, leading the Arab Legion of Transjordan. And he, in fact, he stayed loyal to Transjordan and fought the dastardly Israelis at one point, and was one of the few Arab armies that acquitted themselves well in that war. But anyway, Gleb Pasha, in his famous book, The Fate of Empires, argued that empires typically have a life cycle of 250 years. The British Empire, roughly 250 years. And this year, 2026, is the 250th year of the existence of America, starting it from 1776. And there's always been some debate over when should you start the US empire? Like, did it really start in 1776? But actually, if you look at the history of America, it does map pretty well onto this narrative of how empires start with a spark, how they, you know, it begins in the frontier. And, you know, the first half of what you might call the American empire is simply the Americans. I mean, basically British colonists, settlers, if you want to put it that way, colonizing all of America and then taking over the land of the Native Americans or the Indians, you know, often by force as they swept west. You know, they started on the East Coast and they swept west. So the period of cowboys and Indians, the frontier, the Wild West, was the spark, if you want to put it that way, in terms of the building of the American empire. And if you think about the United States, by any normal consideration, it is an empire in and of itself, i.e. the country itself, as it exists today, the USA, is already an empire by any normal historical standard. And they made that empire by, you know, conquering all the surrounding lands, which were occupied by Native Americans. And then later, America starts, after a period of isolationism where they consolidate the home empire, they start to expand out. And roughly speaking, it's the period of the world wars, starting with Woodrow Wilson and going on into FDR and the treachery of Winston Churchill, that basically means that America inherits or takes over from the British Empire as the new global hegemon. It takes over lots of territories, in some cases quite literally just taking over the base or being given the base, you know, by the treacherous Churchill. If you want to know that history, there's a very good book by Major General Richard Hilton. I'm seeing if I have a spare copy of it here. Where is it? I don't have it here. But Major General Richard Hilton, the Imperial Obituary, which is now available, it's now been reprinted, and I wrote the introduction to that book. So if you want to know about the treachery of the Tories and of Churchill and of various other characters like Eden and Macmillan in the downfall of the British Empire and the Suez Crisis, read that book, because it's warts and all. It doesn't try to dress it up. And it seems like with the current war in Iran, the president, Trump, has bitten off more than he can chew. And this is starting to look like the Strait of Hormuz is starting to look like American Suez crisis. And in a minute, I'm going to go through exactly all of the ways in which it's starting to look like that. In fact, there's an argument to say that American incompetence here vastly outstrips what was happening in the Suez crisis, because the British at that time militarily actually acquitted themselves quite well. You didn't, you know, it wasn't like a mess up in this way. It was actually an intervention by the Americans that led to the humiliation of Suez. Anyway, before we get to all of that, you can have a look at my brand new book here, Foundations of Shakespeare. It is officially released in 2 days' time. If you own the course, Foundations of Shakespeare, of which many, many people have bought a copy now, you can send the publisher the receipt and get this for half price. As I said, I did the event last week. This is a beautiful edition, and it's got all, I mean, it really is. And I'm not just saying this because I wrote it. I know what's out there in terms of introductions to Shakespeare. You are not going to find a book that explains what the Renaissance is, for example, or how, you know, medieval and feudal and chivalric structure worked and the great chain of being. And I mean, you're just not going to find that book is not out there. How do I know? Because in writing this, I consulted everything that was out there. And, you know, you pick up a modern kind of guide to Shakespeare like this, you know, and it's all going to be, it's all written by feminists and Marxists and so on and so forth, who do not go into that sort of detail, do not actually give you the nuts and bolts in the way that I do there, as well as some of the interesting ways of looking at the plays and many other things that I do in that book. Anyway, that's enough of Shakespeare and enough of my books. Let's get on to what's actually going on. And why is it that I think that this is pretty much the beginning of the end of the American empire? I actually summed it up in a reply to Niccolo Soldo, Fisted by Foucault. Now, if you know him at all, hopefully you can see this on your screen. He said, right, so Niccolo Soldo's got this idea of turbo America, that actually this is the moment where the American empire can just go for it and show dominance, total spectrum dominance across the board, and see off the kind of emergence of the multipolar world. That's a nice thesis from Soldo. And in theory, it looked like that might happen. But now we're seeing the practice. And I say, and that the nation, that is the nation of America, the USA, might march on, but the empire is done. It can't defend its colonies. It can't muster support. It cannot make good on its threats. The projection of power, the aura of invincibility that America always had when I was a kid. Okay. I mean, I'll get into how difficult it is to get your mind back into like living in the 80s and how invincible and amazing the Americans looked, and how actually even me growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, my heart and soul was over there. I loved it. And now it's all gone. It's cooked. That aura of invincibility, that kind of notion that everybody wants to be like them, is gone. This, what we're watching here, is American Suez. And let me just go into some of the ways. So first of all, you know, on the front cover, I've got that picture of Trump holding the massive, you know, text scroll of doom. Let's have a look at some of the people saying that Trump is dead and the foul serpent of Levant wears his skin. That's Milo. Okay, if you remember Milo, he was one of the OG, one of the original MAGA from back in 2016. Why is he saying this? Because in the middle of this war, in the middle of one of the greatest American crises, okay, since we've lived in Pax Americana and the possible end of the empire, as I'm talking about, Trump takes time out in his busy schedule to start white knighting for fucking Mark Levin, right? White knighting for Mark Levin. And it, what we're going to do here, we're going to go up my timeline and I'm going to show you exactly why the wheel, I mean, the wheel, MAGA is done. Trump is done. Okay. This is it. I mean, there's no, basically there's no, almost nobody coping left apart from Captive Dreamer and Dr. Steve Turley and literally like Ben Shapiro. This is what we're down to at the moment. Okay. Because Trump is coming out on the side of, like, literally Mark Levin's getting cyberbullied, and this is the most important thing in the world at the moment. Cooked. I'm telling you, Trump is done. There's the meme. There's the meme on the front, from the front cover. Lots of people doing that. Mass censorship going on. Pete Hegseth is an absolute lunatic. Laura Loomer is trying to get Tucker Carlson arrested. I mean, that's a whole separate video that we can get into later in the week, perhaps. He is claiming that the footage of the Ayatollah's funeral and all of those marches that we're seeing in Tehran, he's claiming that they are AI, right? He is claiming that the Iranian government is using AI footage of Tehran because he refuses to believe it, okay? He's basically arguing that the attacks on the US bases are fake, right? I mean, this is... we're talking a level of gone here, a level of freaking out and panic that it that has never been seen before. Witkoff and Kushner are taking the blame for starting this. But let's go into some of the ways in which I think that, you know, we're watching the absolute collapse of American supremacy in real time. Okay. One, Trump has been talking for a week about taking this Karg Island, okay? He's already claimed that Iran is defeated and 100% without a military about 15 times this week. And every time he says it, more and more people laugh at him. But he's also just been threatening. Like, he's already said this island is completely destroyed. He said that about 4 days ago. Now he's saying, he's weighing up the seizure of it. They've been talking about these things for a week, okay? About a week ago, Trump was saying, like, if Iran don't do this, then we're going to hit them 20 times harder, 30 times harder. And Netanyahu was, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, I'm not going to get into is Netanyahu dead stuff. As far as I'm concerned, he's alive, and I'm not going to get into it. Okay. If he, I just don't want to get into that. Okay. It's slop coded for me, and I'm going to stay away from him. But, if you remember, about a week ago, Netanyahu's like, tonight there's going to be a big surprise, right? All of these kind of promises and threats, nothing happens. Just nothing. Just no, there's no delivery. Threats are made, red lines are crossed. Nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens, okay? And so, yeah, there's lots of things going on here, right? The fact that Trump, in the run-up to this war, spent a huge amount of time attacking British troops, European troops, attacking his allies, threatening Greenland, threatening Denmark, okay, having a go at Canada, threatening to annex Canada, having a go at Mark Carney, having a go at Keir Starmer, having a go at all of his allies. And he also, if you remember, about a week ago, said to Keir Starmer, we don't need your help. We don't need your help. The war is already won. So you can't come in now, Britain, or and try to claim a piece of the glory. We don't need you. Now Trump is freaking out and saying, we can't commit anything to defend the Strait of Hormuz. After all this big talk, we can't do it. Can you come and help us, please? Italy, no. Spain, no. Japan, no. France, now it's written hesitant here. It was reported that France were sending 10 warships and the French government had to come out and say, this is bullshit, we're not doing that. Okay, so France, not sure. Norway, no. Canada, no. Australia, no. Germany, which is literally weak, a vassal state, no. China haven't said anything. Starmer, this morning, has given a speech. Brought a tear to my crystal eye when I watched this speech, because I was really worried. I was like, fuck it, Starmer's going to let us down again. He's going to U-turn again. Actually, Starmer has told Trump to go and do one. And his speech was actually about giving relief to people who are going to be feeling the squeeze because of the increase in fuel prices. So Britain has been kept out of the war. My goodness, can we, if there's a world war, can we take a time out for once? Can we do it? Can Britain stay out of the war for once in its entire existence? I'm feeling hopeful. Netherlands, no response. South Korea, no confirmation. South Korea also, by the way, pissed off because the Americans have removed THAAD missiles from there and put them across to Israel. And then immediately the North Koreans started doing missile tests and, you know, beating their chests. You know, there's also news this morning that there's activity around Taiwan. How much of that is slop, I don't know. But the fact is, all of these people, in the hour of need, the hegemon says, jump. Nobody says how high. Everybody says, go and do one. Why are they saying go and do one? Because Trump has spent the past year completely severing and burning all his bridges and running down Europe and having a go at all of his allies. So he has isolated America. And also because this war was a war of choice and it's a war for Israel. And of course, all of these places know what the shot is. They know what the shot is, and they're not going to get involved. All of this is telling me that the US empire is cooked, okay? Trump had all this big talk about the Strait of Hormuz, won't commit even one warship there himself, and nobody else will either. The US bases in all of these Gulf regions were meant to be a guarantor of security. As long as the US bases were there, you don't get attacked. Iran has completely destroyed the credibility of US security guarantees. And also the behavior of Trump, his total subservient allegiance to that little country in the Middle East, Israel, making that the one unprincipled Smithian exception above all others, has completely also destroyed his credibility and America's credibility with all of these supposed allies, because they can see if you're in South Korea and they're moving THAAD missiles from your base to the Israeli base, or if you're even in your Ukraine and they're moving defense down from Ukraine down to Israel, or if you're in the Gulf and they're you're seeing that Iranian missiles are coming in completely without interception, completely without US intervention, because all of their thoughts and minds are trying to defend Tel Aviv. By the way, they can't even defend Tel Aviv. We can get onto that in a second. But they've all got to be thinking, hold on a second. What are we even getting out of this? What, this was all just for that one place over there? We're a lesser ally than these other places? And every single one of them is thinking about this at the moment. This is what's happening in the world right now. Yeah, there's some stuff about Russia there. So, yeah, I mean, as Alex, my buddy Alex Master says there, the global American empire was only ever a cultural and economic mirage. The supremacy of the dollar and the saturation of Hollywood have decayed beyond utility in the last 20 years. I'm sorry to our American cousins, but it is over, and your currency and clout are going to zero. And that is what we're seeing right now. And actually, it's actually could and should be a liberation for Americans. Our American friends have got their own fight here. They have watched a movement that was supposed to be about draining the swamp. It was supposed to be about winning their country back, completely hijacked by people like Laura Loomer and Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and all of the, and basically Trump selling out his base for all of these disgusting individuals. That's the American fight right now. Okay. And if you're American, you should probably ask them, like, what's the empire ever done for me? Okay. Because it not only is it messed up all of these European countries, hollowed out their industry, okay, and I mean, you know the story. This is the whole reason MAGA exists in the first place. Not only has it done all of that stuff, but also it's done it to America as well. America itself has had this done to itself. It's almost like ground zero, the first place that was occupied, you could put it that way. And it could be that this fight between Laura Loomer and Tucker Carlson and the fight for the heart and soul of MAGA will ultimately be the fight for the heart and soul of America. And I want Tucker Carlson to win that fight. And I want the American people to win that fight. And I want Laura Loomer and Mark Levin and all of those other disgusting individuals in the Epstein class to get their justice and get their comeuppance. Curtis Yarvin says this is a fallacy. He says that's impossible. Well, we'll see. It's only impossible if you believe it's impossible. I want these people to get their comeuppance. Maybe they will. So, Morgoth here. You know, Mr. President, the Straits of Hormuz remain closed. Nobody's coming to help. The markets are crashing, and China has surrounded Taiwan. They'll have to wait. Mark Levin is getting ratioed on X. That is literally the tall and short of it. I mean, look at this. Chris Brunette, MAGA is completely 100% dead. MAGA is now just a zombie skin suit worn by Mark Levin, Bill Ackman, Barry Weiss, Jared Kushner, captive dreamer. I was there years ago, by the way. When you were all cheering this shit on, I was there on my own. I think I haven't forgotten. Closington, prudentialist, I will never forget. Ben Shapiro, Douglas Murray, Chris Rufo, Mark Dubovitz, Shabos Kesterbaum, Eyal Yacoubi, John Poderitz, and Batya Ungar Sargon. Why? Because Trump says those that speak ill of Mark Levin will quickly fall by the wayside, as they do, as do the people whose ideas, policies, and footings are not sound. They are not MAGA. I am. Trump is continuing to crash out, completely surrender his entire legacy to these people, to Mark Levin. There you can see shoe on head with this image, which says everything. Says everything. And what we're seeing is a convergence of people who see this from the left. Shoe is from the left, don't forget. And people who supported Trump from the right. You're seeing people who are libertarians, like Dave Smith, or people who are from the Marxist left, like the Young Turks and Anna Kasparian or Shu, or some of my communist buddies, or Caleb Morpin. Okay, they all see it. Libertarians see it. Nationalists, people who support Trump from the nationalist right, or even the white nationalist right, they all see it. So there is a perfect convergence of left, right, center, libertarian, nationalist, Marxist. It doesn't matter where you're from. Everybody can see the same thing. Trump does not survive this, I'm telling you. He won't survive it. This is an almighty crash out. And when all is said and done, I think we'll be seeing Pete Hegseth go to jail. Here is Mike, who says, you can tell that painting himself into a corner with this war and having no options is really getting to Donald Trump, who maintains that all the footage that we see is AI. He's finally hit rock bottom. And, you know, there are people up and down my timeline regressing ever having voted for Trump. This is a movement that is over, guys, okay? And it's having not only a bad effect for Trump politically and America in the world, it's having a bad effect for the allies who try to stick with Trump and America, like Modi. In India now, people are burning effigies of Modi. He is seeing a massive cratering of support for Modi in India, because the average, guess what? The average Indian is Indian first, not Israel first. And Modi is causing real problems for India by supporting the wrong side, essentially, in this. And as I mentioned here, Iran's record against India in history, when this clash has happened in the past, which is, I don't know what Modi's thinking about, Cyrus annexed the West in Indus. Darius conquered Punjab, turned it into a satrapy back in the ancient world. And then if you fast forward to the early modern period, Nader Shah comprehensively defeated the Mughal Empire, sacked Delhi, took the peacock throne, and this massive diamond called the Koh-i-Noor. Somehow that ended up with the British. You have to look into the history of that, but there was some deal or other where it was sold to Victoria or something. Somebody in the chat will know about what happened with that. I think Carlyle actually has an essay about that massive diamond. We have a real problem here. Trump has a credibility crisis. He keeps on making threats, and those threats turn out to be bluffs. He doesn't make good on them. Okay. And it's a problem. Okay. If you're talking about the Strait of Hormuz, and, you know, he started off with, if you do this, we'll hit you 20 times, blah, 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 blah. You'll never do this. Then it comes down to, oh, well, we can't send anyone. Now it's literally begging the rest of the world to sort this problem out on his behalf. It is honestly one of the greatest humiliations in American history. And, part of me is like, amazing, amazing. But another part of me is like, come on, guys, going out like this, this is bad. It's bad. It really is. It's an embarrassment. Not just to America. It's just an embarrassment to everybody. It was an embarrassment to me, right? I know I've been seen as being like anti-Trump for a long time, but there was a time where I was like kind of, you know, said good things about him, you know, 6-7 years ago. He's even made me look like a chump. He makes everybody look like a chump. And at the moment, he's making America look very clownish on the world stage. I think it's up to Americans to try to get rid of this guy now. He's lost it. He's completely lost it. The White House is compromised. All sorts of details are coming out about the level of corruption. Like, for example, on the TikTok sale, when Larry Ellison bought the stake in TikTok, there was a $10 million kickback. For the Trump family, you know, blatant corruption on these sorts of grounds. The coming out for Mark Levin in this way, persecution of Tucker Carlson now at the behest of a disgusting hag like Laura Loomer. There is a crisis point in American domestic politics, and it has spilled over into a massive crisis of international politics here and the world stage. I think unless something drastically changes in the next couple of weeks, this is it for America. I think it's the moment where in years to come, just like we remember the Suez Crisis at the beginning of the end of the British Empire from 1956, 2026 will be remembered as the beginning of the end for the American Empire. They can no longer project power in the region. They cannot make good on their threats. They cannot defend their bases. They cannot defend their assets. They cannot rally support from allies. It's over. Where is he? Where are you, Peter Hitchens? Let's play you for once more for a...
It's over.
Anyway, pick up Foundations of Shakespeare. Buy it now. Buy it now before inflation kicks in. But you're better off buying it now, because if you wait, the price might go up due to international energy markets or whatever. Pick up also the Foundations of Shakespeare course, Trivium, many other great things available. I'll be back, if not later tomorrow, with stuff on the debacle with the Tory boys attacking Rupert Lowe. I don't want to let that go. I really want to nail that and see off the sniveling enemy. But all in all, we live in very interesting times. You know, nothing ever happens. Chad has taken an almighty battering, and Honestly, I'm here for it. All right, bye everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.